Sport on RTE Radio 1.
Over to Darren now for the sports news.
Only one place to start this morning, Mary, and that is Rome, the scene of what will go down as a great victory for Team Europe against the United States to win the Ryder Cup. The home side regaining the famous trophy by 16.5 points to 11.5. Great to see both Irish players make a very important contribution as well over the weekend. Rory McIlroy winning his match against Sam Burns yesterday. Shane Lowry tied his with Jordan Spieth, picked up a very important half there as well. We heard from Shane earlier. Now let's get the thoughts of Rory. I don't think we've ever seen Rory McIlroy show so much emotion at an event. We had the incident with the American caddy on Saturday and then getting that win yesterday, where I think the look in his eyes pretty much spoke volumes. You could just see that kind of that happiness and relief all wrapped into one there in his eyes. He was good enough to make time for our very own Greg Allen during the celebrations.
The passion in your person at Ryder Cups is different. We saw it spill over into a situation yesterday when on the 18th green, you know, Joe LaCava, the caddy of Patrick Cantlay, moved into your space, so to speak. And that resulted in an incident in the car park afterwards where you got very agitated. Is that part of the week? And did it fuel what you did today? Because you led from the front.
Look, it was an unfortunate incident. And I was disappointed on the 18th green because, like, I felt like I played the match yesterday in the right spirit. And I don't feel like that spirit was reciprocated to me on the 18th green. But, look, we move on and it doesn't...
That kid back in 2010 in Celtic Manor, you know, with the floppy hair. Now you're the seven-time Ryder Cup veteran of the team, leading in a manner 4 points out of five. How proud of you of this? And what does this feel like by comparison to the other Ryder Cups that you've been involved in?
Yeah, I'm really proud of myself because coming off of Whistling Straits, I don't know if I'd ever felt so low, not even just in a Ryder Cup, but in my career in general. You can trace my form back over the last couple of years to that Sunday at the Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits. It meant the world to me that these guys believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. And to have a group like that around you that does believe in you, it means the world to me.
Now, former pro and golf commentator John McHenry joins me on the line. John, let's start by just referencing what we just heard from Rory. That was pretty powerful stuff, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And I think that really, you know, the Ryder Cup is a special event. I think that it's one time really that Team Europe get to pit themselves against the Americans. And you can go through the history books and you can say that they, you know, America hasn't won over there for 30 years back in Europe. But I mean, I think that, you know, every Ryder Cup is emotional. And I think you can see the rawness that still was carrying into this event from Wisconsin a number of years ago with Rory. And I think that, you know, he led from the front. And I think that, you know, this Ryder Cup in particular will be noted for the Europe's leading players delivering in style.
Does the incident on Saturday and Saturday evening, does it take away in any way from this victory, John?
I don't think so. I mean, I think, I think that Joe LaCava, who, you know, got to remember, he caddied for Freddie Couples and he caddied for Tiger Woods. He should have had way more experience. I think that in the heat of the moment, I think Patrick Cantlay was getting a lot of grief from the Europeans, but nothing more than the Europeans wouldn't get in America. But, you know, for Rory to step out, I think there was more a case of just pent-up frustration himself. I think he would have been disappointed that they lost that game. And, you know, I think that they do move on. And I think Rory's rightfully put it to bed now.
And no harm with a bit of finger-pointing anyway. In terms of finally just wrapping this up, how do you think it was won and lost?
Well, I just think the preparation was fantastic. I think that the Europeans were tremendously prepared, a golf course set up for themselves. I think that Luke Donald, just listening to all the players, I mean, it seems he delivered in spades and they were so happy the way his demeanour was on the golf course and so on. But I think, again, the top players performed and they performed really, really well. I think Europe owned the first hole, which, again, from a momentum point of view, is very, very important. But I think that more importantly, I think that there was a team there that was determined to right the wrongs of Wisconsin. And I think that, that bodes very well going forward. And I think probably the biggest thing from a European perspective is that they blooded young players this time around. So the likes of, Garcia, Westwood, Poulter, have now been consigned to the history books. And I think that, that's great for Europe.
Yeah, absolutely. Roll on 2 years' time. John McHenry, thank you very much. We'll turn our attention to rugby now. And South Africa beat Tonga 49 points to 18 in Pool B at the Rugby World Cup. And that win takes them to the top of the pool. But this was their final group game. They're on 15 points, one ahead of Ireland and Scotland, both locked on the same points difference, 14. And they meet in the final game in the pool next Saturday coming. All three teams can qualify. All three teams can be eliminated. RTÉ Sports' Neil Tracy is with the Irish squad in Tours in France and he joins me now. Neil, can you make sense of it all? What do Ireland have to do at the weekend?
Win, Darren. That's the simple one. I've got the calculator out on the table. And yeah, after last night's game between South Africa and Tonga, there are a number of permutations. But the simple one is a win of any kind, or a draw even, is going to be enough to see Ireland finish not just into the quarterfinals, but top of the pool as well, leapfrogging South Africa. Where it gets tricky is if Ireland were to be beaten. So if we're talking about four match points for a win, one bonus point for four tries scored, and one bonus point for finishing within seven, there are a number of permutations there. So, for example, if Scotland were to get four or five match points and Ireland don't get anything, Ireland are out. If Scotland get five match points and Ireland get one, this is the really important version, because if Ireland do get one bonus point and Scotland also get a bonus point and win, it would come down initially to points difference between the three teams. So you would have Ireland, Scotland and South Africa all level at the top of that pool on 15 points. And in a quirk of the system, they've developed a criteria where if there are three teams tied at the top of a pool, it comes down to points difference. That decides who finishes first out of the three, but then the other two are split based on their head-to-head record. So it creates a strange system where if Ireland were to lose by, for example, 6 or 7 points and pick up a bonus point for scoring four tries, they would actually go out of the tournament. Scotland would finish second and South Africa would finish first. But in a very, very strange way, Ireland could lose by 21, 22 points and score four tries, and they would actually finish in second place and Scotland and South Africa would go out.
So let's just keep it nice and simple. Win on Saturday. Neil, very quiet around the camp the last few days. We're not hearing too much. Have you heard anything in terms of team news or health and fitness for us before we go?
Hey, there isn't too much. All we've been told over the last few days is that all 33 players are fit and available for selection this weekend against Scotland. From what we do know, not everyone has been training fully. There have been sightings of a couple of players in the gym, but we've been told that that's just a normal modification of their programs and just kind of managing their training over this bye week. But they've categorically said to us on a couple of occasions all 33 players available for selection this weekend against South Africa. The players were off yesterday. They were out for a nice squad meal on Saturday night. We walked past them in the Place Plumereau here in Tours, and they were in quite a good mood. You could hear them in their upstairs room they'd booked out, singing a couple of songs. They were in good voice. They were obviously given the night off and back to training today. Tuesday and Wednesday will be the heavy days of the week. And then on Thursday, they'll be packing the bags and heading for Paris. They'll be ending what's been four or five brilliant weeks in Tours as well. I know, having spoken to some people around here, that they've really, really enjoyed being in this lovely little city, just an hour or so outside of Paris. But if they do get to a quarterfinal or beyond, they will be upping sticks and moving to a camp a little bit closer to Paris.
Neil Tracy, thank you for that update from Tours. Remember that game live at the weekend on RTÉ Radio 1.